everybody. Welcome back to the Bare Bones Kitchen Table Podcast, known as...
I do the music. I'm the captain now.
Known as Let's Talk About Cheers, or...
where everybody knows we're lame. This is going to shape up to be something better as we go, though,
You know what we have?
If the more we invest in it, don't you think it'll be...
we'll you know what we have?
What? Love.
We got a hot. We are continuing our grand tradition of watching 2 to 3 Cheerses a night. We're watching 2 right now because it's 10:30 at night on a Tuesday.
A little later. We're tired.
Oh, we're post-podcast tired.
Yes.
I've already done one
Jenny.
Podcast.
Yes. But we still did it. I wanted to still watch a Cheers.
Yeah,
I was tired as I was. I was excited to watch it. But even this part, it's not that hard.
It's just really
sitting
just
here
what
at the kitchen table
doing.
Talking about it.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so.
I've lost Jenny.
Sorry, I'm literally troubleshooting a problem with the podcast that pays us money.
I know.
So I'm going to be, this is very meta. I'm going to be doing an episode of Let's Talk About Cheers and troubleshooting a podcast problem for actual work at the same time.
Just let me know when you're going into it. And as we all know, it's not that hard for me to monologue.
Well, I'll tell you what. You'll know because I'll stop talking and start typing.
But I need your guidance.
So where's my notebook? This is another thing. Jenny doesn't have her notebook at the start of every episode.
Jenny's gone away again.
Okay. So, the episodes we watched today were called Coach Returns to Action, and apparently one that is a classic, and now I understand why, Endless Slumper.
Yes, Endless Slumper. Now, do you want to do the honor of recapping,
is it my turn? Okay,
Either way, we could do one each, or you could do them both.
All right. A nice gal moves in, and this is Coach Returns to Action. A nice gal moves into Coach's apartment building, and he helps her out, and she comes over to the bar, and Sam sees her and tries to hit on her, even though Diane says don't, but is not allowed to say why. But Sam is not able to convert the save, and And Coach ends up, quote, going home with the girl. But as we'll get into, that has a beautiful running through line that ends with a great, as they so often do, physical gag.
And there's also, in this episode, I believe, a This Week in Sam Malone's Sexual Harassment. as we will touch on probably every week on the show.
Where it's really quite
remarkable.
He was
hitting on the girl and not taking no for an answer. She was saying, bug off. And he sort of like gently grabbed her hands, and I think I heard you say, ooh, or notice that as it being something that would not be acceptable.
Now it's gone too far.
Even for handsome Sam Malone.
I always have my 2017 moment of like, I'm okay with this. This is fine. This is classic. Nope, there it's gone too far.
And in that same episode, another small gay panic joke.
Yeah,
right?
Gay panic. We should have a chart that's like
This Week in Sam Malone has sexual harassment.
Yeah, and
This Week in
80s gay panic. Anyway,
right. Where it was, Norm went upstairs. It was a running gag. It was actually a pretty good running gag in this first episode, where upstairs the restaurant Melville's, which those of you who are fans of Cheers know, factors into it quite a bit later on in the series. The bathroom was broken at Cheers, and so everybody had to go upstairs to Melville's to use the bathroom. But because it's a fancy restaurant, they had to put a jacket on and a tie before, as they went upstairs to use the bathroom. And Norm was quite frequently, because he drinks a lot, going upstairs to go to the bathroom, and he made a joke about, the bathroom attendant there, I don't know who they're hiring. He asked me to the movies. He grabbed me and asked me to the movies, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was a gay joke. It's okay.
Oh,
it's a different
80s.
Time. Norm didn't know.
Yeah. Very exciting times. So I just want to focus on the physical gag, because it's one of those things where it's like, you said this. I did not say this while we were watching it, but it seems like sometimes they're working in reverse on Cheers. That they have the gag and they know they want to do it, and they build backwards.
Because this was a mediocre episode with a fantastic physical gag at the end that they were basically leading up to since really one of the first conversations or so in the episode.
Yeah. And so basically, Coach, as part of his talking to Diane about wooing this nice young lady sitting at the bar, has one of the funniest lines in an episode yet, which is she's like, well, Coach, what are your lines? Meaning like pickup lines. And he, again, proving the wonderful time frame that this show encompasses, he says, line, how would you like a pair of nylons, Fräulein? Which is just your classic World War II joke. And also like tells you so much about the character of Coach.
They
like,
fought in World War II. He was a veteran.
He's a veteran and fought in World War II.
Like Ted Williams.
Oh, so great. And so there was that. And then he said basically he would just get hurt.
Get hit by a pitch. Take a pitch off the groin when he's fielding. Dive into a base.
Fall down the dugout steps. Said that.
And Diana was like, no, you don't need to do that anymore to win a girl's heart.
And so they, the whole episode proceeds and Sam totally strikes out with this girl. In fact, she's not at all charmed by him. And he puts his hand on her. And that's the point where I was like, But at the end of the episode, Coach gets up his courage, goes to ask her out, and she politely is like, no, I really have to unpack. And so he says, okay, I'll go cancel the dinner reservations upstairs. And he goes and he puts on the dinner jacket that everybody's been putting on, walks up the stairs, and then obviously I don't think Nick Colasanto did this pratfall, but did this amazingly executed pratfall down
ass
the stairs.
Ass over tea kettle.
Ass over tea kettle, full frame shot of someone falling down the stairs.
And it works.
And it works. And she goes and she's like, oh, I'll take you home. It'll be okay. And it's a very
Here's what I wonder now that you bring it up about him putting on the jacket in the end.
Yeah.
Do you think if in fact they were planning this whole episode around that physical bit, and in a way it was an episode that didn't really rise above the medium waterline of Cheers.
Right.
Like, except for the end, did they retroactively come up with the bit where Norm and other people were having to use the jacket? So when Coach did go to the stairs and put on the jacket, you would be distracted and think the bit was more about that than him being about to fall.
Like a misdirect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing. Like, there's still no A plot, B plot, C plot, but.
No, just that running joke about going to the bathroom.
Yeah. So my question is, in a room, if you had been lucky enough to be in the Cheers writer's room, where would this nugget have come from? Where would this episode have come from to start?
Well, you know, it's almost hard to classify for any room I've been in because I would say, look at this and say there's not enough here for there to be a story. You know, because we wouldn't have the because we're thinking differently about coming at the stories and in terms of A and B and C. And also we didn't have the characters that they had, the credibility almost that they had. And we'll get to that in the slumping one, the next one, too. Only in episode 9, you know, to sort of rely on their banter to carry the episode, because the episode really wasn't about anything than somebody being at a bar who was cute. One person fancying her, and then another younger guy also kind of for, you know, because he thought someone was telling him he couldn't do it, hitting on her, you know, and that's 30, you know, 22 minutes of time, like a full half hour of television.
Right.
That's not enough.
Right.
You know, and they managed to make it enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's all about Diane keeping a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's reputation with the guys at the bar. It's also a Sunday, so you get to see them in like different clothes and sort of a more relaxed attitude, and they're sitting in different places.
The first time we ever get to see the Cheers bathroom.
No,
you're right. There was not a lot going on, and yet there was a lot in terms of running things. There was a problem in the bathroom and various people trying to fix it. There was the fact that it was cold and a tour guide kept showing up and passing off the bar as famous Boston landmark, so he wouldn't have to go and do the whole tour. There was Norm going upstairs to the bathroom to constantly use the Melville's bathroom and have to wear a jacket. There was the boys slowly losing their faith that Sam wouldn't seal the deal with a woman.
Right.
Like the peanut gallery, the right. chorus. And there were at least, you know, three jokes about that to track, you know. And that's a lot, I guess.
Right. But even though, bathroom. Yeah. You mentioned that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's how they did it. That's how they filled the episode until the great physical bit in the end. And also a lot of empathy for Coach.
I guess because the only episodes of Cheers I have ever watched to this point have been later episodes after he's gone, I think I dramatically underestimated Coach's importance to the show.
Yeah. I mean, watching it like this, just through episode 9, you could see how this guy is already becoming the most empathetic character in television history. Yeah. You love him so much.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just... Yeah. I think I thought he was like a one season and then it happened and that was that. But he really is the central warmth.
It is funny. I wonder if when people think about Cheers, if they associate Woody Harrelson in that role more than they associate Nicholas
Colasanto.
Colasanto, yeah.
It's a good question.
Although I think Coach makes it 4 or 5 seasons. So it's interesting.
See, to me, my memory of this is all warped. So that was a great episode. And it just is they have a real knack in this season of ending on the bit, the big physical bit.
They very much
do. It's almost like their go-to thing.
Yeah, it is. And their go-to thing along with there's the physical bit that there's the go-to thing that ends the show. And also the discussion, the emotional discussion / funny discussion with Sam and Diane, usually with both of them sitting.
Yeah. Right. They're real casual.
Like we talked about on the last.
Sitting down.
Yeah, that they get casual and sit down.
Anything else you want to say about that episode?
No, I think we covered that.
Okay. So then the next episode was what Matt has described as a classic, Endless Slumper.
Endless Slumper.
Do you want to do that?
Which is that based on the movie, Play on the Words movie named Endless Summer, which was about what? Do you know?
The 80s.
Endless Summer. It's
a seminal, it's a surfing movie. A seminal 1966 surf movie by Bruce Brown. It's just like two surfers on a trip.
I wonder if he had a good luck charm or anything like that in Endless Summer. But,
or it's just a pun.
The basic plot, you want to tell it or you want me to tell?
So basically, you're good at it. A reliever, a current reliever for the Red Sox walks into a bar and asks Sam for advice on getting out of a slump. And that's more description. Asks Sam about getting out of a slump and Sam ends up giving him his lucky bottle cap. And then the pitcher, of course, turns it around, except consequences ensue. And it takes a turn into something really real and true and sad.
Yeah, based in Sam's character that they've been setting up since the pilot, you know?
And really not, I don't want to say justifying, but not delving into.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, you know, he's got a lucky, first of all, let's talk about the misdirect conversation, which is a classic TV thing, but the way they execute it is so subtle in this. So basically, they're all giving the ball player advice or giving Sam advice about what to tell the ball player to get out of a slump. And Diane, of course, suggests meditation, which sets up her physical bit of the episode is that she meditates.
She's got a tick in her face.
To get out of a tick in her face. And then the tick, of course, reappears once she talks about it. And it's, I don't know that I could do that tick. Like, that's a level, you can do it, but it's a level of physical facial acting.
She was great
acting.
With it. She was really good
because
with it.
She
every time
trying.
She was under stress, you could feel like it was happening naturally, which
I almost
wonder whether or not they, writing it, knew she could do that and wrote that as the tick.
It's like either you can raise one eyebrow like Spock,
which I cannot.
Or you can't.
Mm-hmm. Or you touch your tongue to your nose. No. Oh my God, I used to be able to do it and now I can't. You can't get so fat you can't touch your tongue to your nose anymore. Does that happen? I'm alarmed that I can't touch my tongue to my nose anymore. I've lost that ability.
It might be the
mustache. What if I need that to save my life?
Well, if you do, it's a very specific
what
set of circumstances.
What the fuck? Can your tongue get fat? Does your tongue get fat because you're fat? write us I and wish... tell it anyway.
Tell it anyway.
Us if your tongue gets fat when you get fat.
Oh,
or does your face, we know your face gets fat, but I wouldn't think it would affect your ability to touch your tongue. It's
I'll
not about
what.
That. It's I'll not about what. That right now.
I'll tell you what. Okay. We picked a good title for this podcast. But the misdirect bit is that, so then, of course, Diane suggests to Sam that he tell the pitcher about meditation. But what Sam really suggests is you should just go have sex. And so then basically the pitcher, who is another great character actor who you've seen in a million 80s yes. movies, is like, oh, shucks, no, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And then Diane walks over and assumes he's talking about meditation and hence unfolds just a really magical escalation of the miscommunication.
An extended bit. Yeah,
extended
where Diane is offering herself up to him to have sex and she thinks she's talking about medication and he thinks she's
meditation.
Talking about sex.
But yeah. Medication might also work.
Medication.
And so it was just like, I would study just that scene alone for hours just to see how it unfolds because like, it's so elegant and so natural and it was so easily set up. It's just magical. Like go watch this episode for sure. Like if you're going to watch any episodes, like this one is a must.
And then so Sam lends this pitcher his bottle cap, which Coach brings up. He's talking about, you know, they're talking about what ball players talk about all the time. Do you have any superstitions or is there anything you could do to change it up so that you can break your bad streak? And Coach brings up, oh, Sam, you used to have a bottle cap, didn't you? And Sam produces it. He's been carrying it around ever since. And the ball player who will do anything to break out of a slump says, please, can I borrow a bottle cap? I need anything to change it up. And Sam sort of reluctantly parts with it, gives it to him, but because I think he wants to impress his fellow athlete and he understands what a bad streak is, he gives it to him. And Sam embarks on 2 weeks of terrible luck with all kinds
is illustrated by yet another amazing physical. It's not a bit. It's a
oh yes, yes.
So
which
at the
is
beginning
a very
of the
important
episode,
part of this. Yeah.
Yet another random actor comes in, is seated at the bar next to Cliff, and says, "What did he call it? Your slide?"
He doesn't believe you're in your slide down the bar or something like that, or sliding his drink down the
sliding
bar,
sliding a drink to the bar
to a customer. You know?
But it's a curveball.
Yes,
it's not just straight; it curves.
Sam is able to curve it around the side of the bar, so the pint glass actually takes a turn and goes to the person.
Right. So you see that at the beginning of the episode, and then when he doesn't have the coin anymore, it goes straight off the bar and breaks, which is great. And then you don't see it again until the very end.
Yes, before which he goes through 2 weeks or so of bad luck. Everybody's kind of making fun of him for it, you know. He's leaving his keys in his car. There's all kinds of ridiculous things happening at home. And he desperately wants this bottle cap back. And Diane is kind of wondering. She's wondering about the history of the bottle cap. Why is it that Sam finds it so lucky? She asks Coach about it. And he will not tell her because it's personal in nature. So finally, there's this classic Cheers bit where it's like, well, why don't we call the pitcher? And you know, you're a reliever. You can call the locker room. You know the number to get it back. And of course, they realize the game's about to go on. He goes, oh, well, okay, you'll just wait till the end of the game. The whole gang of Cheers is there telling him, well, watch the game, wait till the end of it, and then you'll call it. And then you do a cut, hard cut tonight, and you hear the announcer, they're listening to the game on the radio, and we go into the 21st inning, and everybody is asleep, and Sam is waiting with bated breath to get the bottle cap back, and slowly everybody filters out of the bar as Sam is still very, very stressed and waiting to get this bottle cap back, and Diana's still been unable to find out why the bottle cap is lucky. Eventually, everybody goes home but Sam and Diane, and the game finally ends. Sam's super excited. He goes to call to get the bottle cap and finds out that the pitcher has lost it over a week ago.
Dick.
And Diane finds out, or previous to actually the way they set it up, and I want to do it justice, is before he calls back and discovers that the bottle cap is missing, he finally reveals to Diane in a happy mood, happy that the game is over and he's going to get it back, that bottle cap was the bottle cap from the last beer he drank when he quit drinking anything. It hasn't had a drink since then, and squeezing the bottle cap as hard as he could is what got him through it. And then he calls and he finds out that it's gone. So there's this moment where Diane is sort of panicking and alone in the bar with an alcoholic who just found out that this totem, that this talisman that he used to keep himself from drinking is gone. And he's kind of like pacing around the bar frantic. And she's, you know, thinking on her feet. We'll fly to Kansas to go get it, where the guy lost it on the road trip. And it was just this really, really powerful moment. I think that in episode 10 of a show, I feel like you wouldn't normally see something as dark as this. And I remember even when I was a kid, and by the way, I remember now the outside of the pilot, which I can't remember seeing. This was probably the first episode that I saw, whether it was in syndication or whether it was first run, that made me realize this is a show that I liked, because I have vivid memories of this whole scenario. And Diane, as Sam pours a beer and says, "I'm going to feel good tonight, I don't care what happens," pours a beer into a glass on the bar, and she walks towards him, and he goes, "No, just no." And I remember that moment because she was frozen and felt she couldn't do anything. She couldn't dictate his life to him. And then he takes the glass and he does his special slide and it curves around and it's kind of indicative of the fact that he got his mojo back. And the bottle cap that he opened up to fill the beer with was like, "Oh, guess I had the wrong bottle cap." And he sort of like triumphed the paranoid part of this is the reason why I'm not drinking, and realizing that it came from him. And years later, as the son of an alcoholic, I don't know, watching that episode, I just, especially those last 10 minutes, I got chills. I don't know if you did.
It was incredible. And just the tonal shift that they're able to do in one.
Yes.
From really just like a really sort of a funny comedy moment, not like 5 minutes before, to shift into that and then not even really have a button.
I don't even think Friends could do that tonal shift. The only show I can think of that could do tonal shift from comedy to serious that quick was MASH.
Yeah. It had a MASH feel, like somebody had died. Yes. Like, it was amazing.
Like, he could have drunk right there. He could, that could have begun the beginning of an arc where Sam started drinking again. You didn't know, you know?
It was very well done. And then do you remember how it ended? They just like walked out of the bar, or that it was just on a smile, or they do that a lot.
It was great. It was another payoff. It was a moment that was so fraught with emotion, and what was Sam going to do? And Diane was afraid that he was going to drink, so sure of it. And there was a moment where they chose to just focusing on the beer and the glass and looking at it, and they took this moment of stillness, and you could feel Diane's discomfort, and as an audience member, you were uncomfortable because you thought he was going to drink too, and seeing an alcoholic drink would be terrible. And then he does that move and spins the glass around the corner of the bar, and Diane, who has her head down, he says, "Oh, see, I had the bottle cap with me all along," and she tries to play it off like she's, very, very casual, but her tick that they established earlier is back, and it's bouncing all over her face. Like, "Oh, no, I understood. I knew that was exactly what you were doing," her lip is going crazy, and then boom, they go to credits. Yeah.
So that was how many that was at least two running physical gags that actually had payoff in the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Both the tick and the beer, the turn of the thing around the corner of the beer had payoff in the plot. That's super for a show that on some of its episodes is almost like kind of lackadaisically set up and paced.
Yeah.
That was just crazy payoff.
And we know who wrote it.
Oh, wait. Who wrote that? Oh, my God. That's right. No wonder it was so good. Yeah.
So the person who wrote that episode was Sam Simon, who is a legendary writer of The Simpsons
fame,
and
many,
many other. What other TV shows has he done?
I don't know, because The Simpsons was 91 and 92, and he was on this for a while, I think. What a writer's room that room must have been. Oh, and the This Week in Coach moment in this episode would be when Sam, the ball player, called Sam. And Sam was busy, and he was like, "Hold on, Coach, I'm busy." And Coach said, "Can you hold, please?" And then he put the phone down, and into the phone went, "La da dee da 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 dee da da," like Holt music. I thought that was so funny for some reason.
So great. Yeah. So, yeah, he wrote on Taxi, and then Cheers, and then The Tracy Ullman Show.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, just 618 episodes of The Simpsons.
Holy crap. Well, that was quite an episode of television.
Yeah. God.
Moved you. It was super funny. A lot of funny lines of when Sam was experiencing bad luck, one of which I thought was particularly funny. They asked Sam if he caught something on TV last night, the Sox game or something. He said, "No, sorry, I put my TV next to the microwave and it exploded." "Oh my God, Sam, are you okay?" "Oh no, I was fine. I was unconscious in the bathtub," which, you know, is the kind of joke that I love, because the "I was unconscious in the bathtub" makes you laugh for what you fill in yourself in the joke.
Yes,
like for what you don't know, like what happened to cause Sam to be unconscious in the bathtub. You knew it was related to his bad luck, so I thought that was a super funny joke. No Sammy sexual harassment in this episode,
no.
As far as I know.
It's a win for the endless slumper,
and I think no Cheers gay panic.
Yes, that's nice too. You know what? I'm looking at Shelley Long's IMDb. And so she has the classic, like, moving your way up the ladder, like, series of guest appearances. Mm-hmm. So she was on The Love Boat for an episode. She was on Trapper John. She was on MASH. And then, of course, Cheers, but really nothing really before that. So I guess they must have just seen enough.
Right.
To know.
They knew just enough. Yeah.
They knew just enough.
Could you do me a favor and look up, and I think if you look up, what is the movie about heroin where the girls that has the horrible ending? You know what I'm talking about with the don't make me say it. The girl getting double dildoed in the end.
I do not.
Yes, Jennifer Connelly, Jared Leto.
I don't remember the name.
You know, you know what I'm talking about. It's a very famous director.
Is it Requiem for a Dream?
Yes, Requiem for a Dream. Requiem for a Dream, the guy who was the game
spoiler
show
alert.
Host. The guy who was the game show host.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. You're so funny. They want to be spoiled for that. They want to avert their eyes.
Yeah.
The game show host for the lady who was addicted to amphetamines, that's the guy who was the relief pitcher. And I just want to find out what his name is so that we can see what other things he was in, because I have a feeling he was
everything.
In hundreds. Yeah. And he's sort of playing a Southern good old boy in this, but normally he plays sort of a smarmy, polished character.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first episode...
Is it a big role?
No, it's a smaller role. You'll find it closer to the bottom. It will be something like host or game show host, or I think also if you type in game show host Requiem for a Dream, it'll come up under as his name for that. But the other person who was in the first episode, the
Coach Returns to Action.
Coach Returns to Action. There was a maybe it was now we sound like old people doing a podcast trying to recall things. This is not entertaining for anybody but us. I was trying to do the guest stars this week, and in one of the cold opens was the lady you might remember who was interviewing Robin Williams when he was doing all the when he's trying to get a job what's the point?
Okay,
Jenny's not in it. Well, she's looking for something.
The actor's name who you're thinking about, who played the ball player, is Christopher McDonald.
Christopher McDonald,
and he's been in GD everything, just everything. And I'm trying to look for an iconic role that you would. His IMDb goes from 1978 to 2018. It's kind of amazing.
And they're probably mostly smarmy roles or authority roles or rich guy or investor roles. This is a podcast where everybody doesn't know the names. Where we make you wait needlessly to hear what they are for a show, which you've probably already looked them up already. If you're listening and you've watched the show, it's a pointless endeavor because you have looked them up already. We're new
at
this.
That's right.
I'm new at this type of podcast. It's very unpolished. We haven't worked together on a podcast like this before, so we're learning.
You know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to do an entire episode of... we're going to do an entire episode of Let's Talk About Cheers, my title.
Yes.
that's all about the guest actors.
That'd be good.
And yeah. Actually do some research so that we don't keep doing this, because you'll just go Google Christopher McDonald and you'll just see he's in everything.
And even when I say now, the woman who was interviewing Robin Williams for a job during Mrs. Doubtfire, or the compliance specialist or something like that. She came to visit the home, yeah. And Robin Williams was trying to fool her. No, I guess it was for the parental checking, making right. Sure his kids were okay. But yes, and she was the one who he wore the cream pie on his face and was like, "Hello." So if you remember that moment, you remember that lady. And she was in one of these episodes in the cold open being hired as a tutor for Carla's kids. And Carla asked her to hit her in the face. And she obliged just to make sure she was qualified to take care of her her unruly children.
So anyway, so that was those were two really great episodes for different reasons. But interesting thing, they both had a lot to do with baseball. They are not shy. Yes. Like, can you imagine really any sitcom today, like, delving so specifically into...
That he is, like, he's a player on the Yankees or something like that. No.
No, it's like they, well...
Or even if they, would they even let you use the names of the major league teams, you know?
Yeah, you'd have to, I don't know.
I mean, in that show, Coach is wearing a Red Sox jacket.
Yeah, right? And, it's and got the little Carla's Red Sox. Got the Red Sox icon on her,
Did they have to make some kind apron. Of deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know what this would be? Would this be a good question for?
My friend Patrick at work.
Yeah. We'll and also on anyone who's ever worked on Cheers.
On a Hello. Future episode, a Cheers expert will be having coming in, a walking television historian who has worked on so many television shows, worked with people who have been in the writers' room at Cheers. Will be one of our, I believe we'll be doing for our season finale.
Yeah, really amazing. Oh, her name is Anne Haney.
Anne Haney. Is she still alive?
No, she passed away.
Oh. Goodbye! No, sorry. That wasn't nice.
Her name was...
But you gotta admit, it was right there.
Her name was Anne Haney. And you can go look her up. Here's how you know her. You ready?
How?
She was on The American President, the movie.
Oh.
She was Mrs. Chapel.
Oh, wow. Okay, definitely.
That's how you and I know her best. She was also on Quantum Leap. I mean, it's just everywhere. Mr. Belvedere, The Golden Girls. She's just your classic Mrs. Doubtfire. Your classic nice little old lady who can dole out a punch.
And that's about it for this episode. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah. So good.
Look forward to at least hoping that Cheers is really revving it up for high gear after this one, I hope.
Well, look, I trust anything Sam Simon ever writes. He was amazing. Anyway, that's it. You know, TBD theme music goes here. TBD credits goes here. TBD email. Actually, you could email us at tellitanyway@gmail.com because that email.
Let us know if there's even one person out there. Who's sitting through this?
Are you there? I'm going to place a bet. Just like Cliff, I'm going to place a bet.
Yeah?
There's at least 5 people.
Okay, because even if there aren't, we're still going to do this. I'm going to watch Cheers.
That's right.
Even if we're doing it to ourselves.
Because one thing I've learned, rewatch episodes are forever.
Yes, and the internet is forever. And eventually they can find this podcast.
And we'll be dead.
Just
good
like,
night, everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you.